Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode 3 of After Hours, a minor league baseball podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Apter. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you're following along with the podcast on all social media outlets, Twitter at After Hours Pod, and on Facebook, just search After Hours Podcast. Give me a like, a follow. Make sure that you're subscribed on your favorite podcast app, whether that's iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Radio FM, Anchor. You can find the After Hours podcast on there. Just search After Hours and it should pop up right there for you. So the first two episodes of the minor league baseball focused version of After Hours have covered rebranding. The first episode was with minor league baseball's Benjamin Hill. And we talked about rebranding kind of as a general subject, and we went over some of the teams that rebranded during the 2018 offseason. And then on episode 2, I talked to president and general manager of the Rocky Mountain Vibes, Chris Phillips, about the story of the Vibes having been in AAA baseball for over 30 years, now a rookie league team. And the story about how their name came about is really, really cool. So if you have not given that a listen, please do. Again, you can find either of the first two episodes on any of your favorite podcast listening apps on your phone, computer, whatever you use. In episode 3, I am joined by vice president and general manager of the Gwinnett Stripers AAA team for the Atlanta Braves. His name is Adam English, just joined the Stripers during the 2018 offseason as Gwinnett looks to go into the 2019 season, continuing their momentum with their rebrand from the Gwinnett Braves to the Gwinnett Stripers. So we'll talk to Adam about his first few months in Gwinnett, what he sees in the market up there, because for those of you who don't know, Gwinnett is located about 30, 35 miles from downtown Atlanta, and it's about 25 to 40 minutes away from SunTrust Park where the Braves play. So it's a very unique market in that you're so close to the major league ballpark that sometimes you're competing with your own big league affiliate. But Adam sees a lot of potential in the Gwinnett market, and it's definitely there. So it's very interesting to hear his take, having only been on the job for a little while now. So we'll learn a little bit more about his background, how he came to be in Gwinnett, and what the Stripers are looking forward to as the 2019 season approaches. This is a really fun conversation for me because I had the opportunity to work with the Stripers when they were the Gwinnett Braves during the 2014 and 15 season. So thanks again for tuning in and enjoy episode 3 of After Hours. All right, everybody, welcome back inside the After Hours podcast. And right now I am pleased to be joined by the new vice president and general manager of the Gwinnett Stripers, Adam English. Adam, thanks for taking some time to chat.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
Of course, yeah. So Gwinnett, obviously a place that's close to my heart since I worked there for two seasons. So it's great to have you in the state and really excited to see what you have planned. But as always, I like to go back and learn a little bit more about the minor league journey of people because, as we spoke briefly about before we started recording, is, you know, really everybody's different. So you're going into your 15th season in baseball. You know, you played baseball and now you work in it. So I guess when did you first come to the conclusion like, okay, like minor league baseball is what I want to do?
That's a great question, Brandon. You know, I grew up playing baseball, have a love for the game. And I'm really just a passion for the game. And I played baseball through high school and college. And at the end of my junior year of college, I hurt my elbow late in the season and had Tommy John surgery. And so I was faced with the dilemma of, you know, do I rehab this and come back and stay for a fifth year and try to, you know, continue playing baseball? Or am I facing the reality that I'm probably not going to play baseball beyond this level? And what do I want to do, you know, with my life after college? And so I was fortunate enough to get an internship with the Lexington Legends, the single A affiliate at the time. They were the single A affiliate of the Houston Astros. And now they're the affiliate with the Kansas City Royals. And so I got into a sales internship with them. I think it was actually a marketing internship is what they called it.
That's how they drag you in.
Right, of course. And I did a little bit of everything. I mean, I made cold calls. I went on sponsorship meetings. I ran the parking lot on day game or on game days. I was the mascot. I pulled tarp. And more than anything, it really opened my eyes to the many hats that you can wear working in minor league baseball. But also, it opened my eyes to the business side of the sport, which is something that I really had no knowledge of. And I love talking to, kind of the next generation of sports professionals at colleges now to share these stories so that they know the career opportunities that are afforded to them in the sports industry. And so after that internship, I had made a good enough impression on the general manager at the time. They didn't have a job for me in Lexington, but he wrote me a letter of recommendation. His name's Kevin Culp. He's actually the president of the Harrisburg Senators now. Okay. And so he wrote me a letter of recommendation. I stapled it to the top of my resume, and I sent it around every team in the Southeast. And I was blessed to get a number of interviews and opportunities, and I landed with Ripken Baseball, Cal Ripken Jr.'s company in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
At the time, they owned the Aberdeen Ironbirds just outside Baltimore, and then they also owned the Augusta Green Jackets.
Did they own the Stone Crabs in Florida at that point too?
Not yet.
Okay.
So I was with Ripken for 5 years, and while I was with them, after my second season, they bought the Vero Beach Dodgers and moved them over to Port Charlotte. And I actually, they promoted me to come down and run their ticket department down in Port Charlotte, where we led the Florida State League for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
In attendance. And so so I was in Augusta and Port Charlotte with Ripken Baseball, developed some great relationships, some great mentors, and my hometown team in Lexington, Andy Shea, their president and CEO, he had called me a couple of times saying, hey, we want you back in Lexington. And, after his second or third call to me, I said, hey, okay, I'm ready to get out of the oldest demographic in the country down in Port Charlotte. It's a great place, and I had a lot of fun down there. But
I lived there for 2 years, and, it's pretty much all the fast food restaurants that you could possibly imagine. Every single chain is down there on the one road, and they have a very passionate fan base, but it's a passionate fan base where – Tamiami Trail, and median age, I think it's like the second oldest county in Florida, median age of 55 years old. So you have the passionate fans, but obviously,
absolutely,
it's
also, it's tough down there, and I tip my cap to those people in the Florida State League, because there's almost no off season. My first year down there, we started playing spring training games late February, and then our team that year actually made the playoffs, and we played the maximum number of games and lost in the championship. So we were done about, September 17th or something like that. And then to turn around just a few months later and start it again in February. I mean, it is a grind down there it can burn you out quick.
Yeah. So. Those Sunday afternoon games, especially like the day games in the months of June and July, just absolutely brutal.
Oh yeah, and that lovely Florida heat.
Oh yeah, it's those ones where it rains at like 3 o'clock, so you're pulling tarp 5 out of the 7 days of the week. Actually, probably 7 out of 7 days of the week, really.
Oh yeah,
if you get lucky. So it rains, and then it gets hot, like hotter than it was before.
Yeah, you can see the steam coming off the ground from where it just rained, and so the. You'd get a half inch of rain in 20 minutes. It would just pour, and then it would just be brutally hot afterwards. But I had some great memories and had some great times down in Florida as well. But that's when I took Andy Shea up on bringing me back to Lexington. And I was with the Legends for 5 years and really had no intention of leaving until the Rivercats called me. And like I said, I feel very blessed in this industry because. I applied for all my first jobs, and I ended up in Augusta. In between Port Charlotte, Lexington, and Sacramento, I didn't send out a resume or try to get another job in the industry. It was just based off of relationships that I built with people making good impressions and not burning bridges anywhere. So actually, Jeff Eisman, who now is the owner of the Augusta Green Jackets of Aegon Sports, he recommended me for the job in Sacramento. He finally forgave me for leaving Ripken Baseball. and he's a great mentor and friend to this day. So when Sacramento, I really, like you said, I had no plans to leave. Like, until I was back in my hometown. I was engaged to be married. And, And but the Rivercats' reputation kind of spoke for themselves. I mean, they were always one of the best teams in minor league baseball,
right
there at the top. And so I said, hey, I got to at least see what this is. And I met with Chip Maxson and the ownership, Jeff and Susan Savage out in Sacramento, flew out there and took an interview and saw the opportunity there and was really excited and was lucky enough that I could sell my fiance, who's now my wife, on the idea of moving across the country 6 months before our wedding. And Sacramento was just a tremendous time for me. I learned so much from some of the best people in the industry. They're still doing so many good things out there. And I was out there for 6 years and did some great things and was a part of their change of affiliation from the A's to the Giants and was able to set some attendance records and really grow revenues out there. And then, when the job here in Gwinnett opened up, I actually, before I even threw my hat in the ring, I called, our GM, he was actually at the AAA championship game at the time and said, hey, what do you know about this? What do you think about this for me? Because I'd been very clear with my bosses, every step of the way. Hey, I want to be the GM of a team. And yeah. I want to, and I love the idea of working on the AAA level. I love being, just a step down from the big leagues where, you really get to see some of that top talent right before they break into the bigs. And so, threw my hat in the ring and good Lord willing, everything worked out and I'm here. So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I know when you mentioned Sacramento, one of the interns that I had during my 2 years at Gwinnett had spent a season in Sacramento doing an internship there. So he came with a lot of fresh ideas. And I know each of the years that I went to the promo seminar, they were always a team that had, the unique promotions during that around the horn thing that they have. Normally, there's a lot of repetition during that. But those teams out in California, whether it be in that league or the California League, always seem to have those really creative outside the box ideas. And for like an East Coaster like me, it's not teams I necessarily pay attention to all the time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was the first one to preach to all the people in Sacramento. Hey, you guys don't know what you have right here in your backyard because they really are. I consider them, and it's no disrespect to anyone else, but they're the mountaintop. I know the numbers that we put up out there, and certainly striving to do something similar here. But they do it the right way, and it starts with service and fan experience, and it's all centered around getting people to the ballpark.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking about getting people to the ballpark, putting butts in seats, that's really the end all be all in minor league baseball, no matter what department you are in. But specifically for you, you broke through in ticket sales. And, there's that running saying in minor league baseball, or really sports in general, when it comes to minor league sports, that you need to do sales in order to advance. You have some people that stay in marketing and get to a certain point. You have some people stay in other departments, stadium operations. Obviously, you don't need to do sales to do stadium operations necessarily. But is that something that you agreed with, that sales is one of those experiences that you have to have in order to advance in the minor league industry?
I'm a huge proponent of go where your passion is. If you want to be, on the baseball ops side, whether it's stadium operations or it's like the player personnel side, I'm very clear with people that, look, this isn't the place for you to start. Getting experience in sales and having a working knowledge of the revenue side of the sport isn't necessarily going to help you advance your goals to be a GM of a major league team or head of scouting or working with, the minor league system from a player personnel standpoint. And so, if you have aspirations to run your own minor league team, be a GM of a minor league team, I think that ticket sales is there's no better place to start because tickets drive the bus. I mean, if you don't have anybody in your stadium, it's harder to sell sponsorships. You don't make as much off food. Your per caps are lower. You don't sell as much merchandise. So it really is kind of the engine of the vehicle. But they're all connected. And oftentimes, if you can cut your teeth selling tickets, you can probably learn and grow and do do everything that can help run a minor league baseball club. And so I certainly think it's a tremendous place to start, especially at the right places where you can learn how to, sell by utilizing, building relationships and based on service and experience and grow from there. So it is a tremendous place to start, but I wouldn't say it's the end all be all. If you have desires to be you know, to work in marketing and work on the social media side. You know, I wouldn't necessarily tell you to start in ticket sales. I'd say go beat on the door and get an internship in marketing and social media and work your way up.
Yeah.
And improve your worth. And honestly, I mean, what I will say, though, the best marketing people that I worked with, my AGM, Erin O'Donnell, part of the reason that she's one of the best that I've ever worked with is because she's great. She's creative. She comes up with great marketing ideas, but she knows that everything's got to be centered around driving people to the ballpark. There has to be, you know, when we think of unique theme nights, we're thinking, who can we sell group tickets to? Who can we, why is someone going to want to walk up and buy a ticket to be a part of this experience? And sometimes you see those kitschy, you know, minor league baseball promotions that we're so famous for as an industry. And you look at it and you go, hey, that was a really cool idea, but did it get more people to come to the stadium and be a part of that experience?
Yeah.
And so we're all very cognizant that we're asking those questions, you know, throughout.
Definitely. So obviously with taking over things in Gwinnett, you know, a team that is obviously looking to improve numbers attendance-wise, one of the biggest challenges since probably the team's inception or a couple years after, was the close proximity to the team, which a lot of people view as an advantage and a lot of people view as a challenge. So for you personally, how have the first few months been for you and Gwinnett, and what do you see in terms of the potential and challenges in that market?
No, it's a great question, and one I've gotten a number of times. I mean, I love being... I think it is a positive being close. I mean, we're the AAA affiliate of the Braves in the heart of Braves country. You know, we have some advantages from the standpoint that, we're 35 miles away. But Atlanta is one of those historically well-known cities for not having the best traffic.
Yeah,
and so
it's not
you
great.
Know, we're right in people's backyard. I mean, you were right in people's backyard, and all these people in Gwinnett County and surrounding counties, like, this is a great family-friendly, affordable way to spend an evening with your family and see the next stars of the Braves right before they break in. We are close, and, yeah, people can go to both. You know, there's enough people in this market for everybody to have a great fan base. And that's really what I've seen when I'm talking to people in the community, when I'm talking to, you know, fans of the team and people who are in and around Gwinnett County. It's, hey, man, my last game out at Cool Ray Field was, we had such a great time. You know, we can get so close to the field. It's inexpensive. It's, you know, and really with a focus on adding value and adding unique experiences, we're seeing early success in growing our attendance numbers.
Yeah, that's definitely the answer that you're looking for, because, again, there's so much potential, untapped potential there, so many different demographics to reach. And really endless potential, if you say, because Gwinnett, especially that area up there, has so many little cluster cities, whether it be Buford, Lawrenceville, Suwannee, or even going down towards Duluth. There's a lot of opportunity for growth and
absolutely
bringing fans to the
and
ballpark.
I mean, it's the fastest growing county in the state. You know, they're projecting within the next 5 years for this to be the most populated county in the state. At more than 1 million people. You know, we're close to 1 million right now. And so just the fact that it's growing and it is a ton of potential.
Yeah. So speaking of that potential, you know, obviously when you're first introduced to being the VP GM, your first GM job, correct?
It is.
So your first GM job, and there's a lot of focus and you have visions to create that atmosphere of, you know, really good fan experience and really a full ballpark. So obviously, you have Cool Ray Field. It's right in people's backyards. Beautiful ballpark. And it still looks very new, very clean still. So in terms of like the focus and vision to enhance the fan experience, are there some things, whether it be theme nights or unique ticket packages that you have in the works currently for the upcoming season?
Well, one that we've already rolled out that we've seen great success with early on here is our package that we call our Hook, Nine, and Sinker. This is part of the advantage of being close to the Braves is we were able to collaborate with them on this package and put together a package that's our top nine games, opening night, you know, Star Wars night, fireworks nights, premium giveaways, you know, all nine games, fan appreciation. So all nine games are our top nights out here. And then as a cherry on top, we were able to add in a 10th game, which is Braves versus Mets on April 11th.
So, all right.
Our ticket prices for that package, you get our 9 games for $11 a seat. That's $99 for 9 games. Tremendous deal.
Yeah.
And the Braves being such great partners, the you know, they said, hey, you know what? We'll offer a home run porch seat to you guys. And you know what? We'll match your price point so you don't have to bump the ticket price. So it's 10 games for $110, which is just a great way to spend 10 evenings with your family.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of piggybacking off of the fan experience and everything, you have ticket packages. What about in terms, you mentioned Star Wars night. Are there any new kind of theme nights to help drive the ticket sales? Obviously, any team, you think of a theme night, it's not just, okay, we're going to do superhero night and not think anything other than dressing up into costumes. There's always that, how can we sell behind it? So do you have anything planned in terms of like bigger nights like that?
Absolutely. I mean, right off the bat, one of the great things that we're doing this year, and this is in conjunction with the International League, is on the 6th of April, we're the International League is inducting Bobby Cox into the Hall of Fame, the International League Hall of Fame. And so we're lucky enough to have Bobby here on that night. He's gonna throw out a first pitch, and he's going to interact with our fans a bit. And then Randy Mobley and his team from the International League are going to be here to do a pregame ceremony and induct him into the Hall of Fame. What a great way to kick off the season on the first Saturday of the year with a Bobby Cox Hall of Fame jersey giveaway as well.
Yeah.
And so the first 2,500 fans will get that jersey giveaway. And I mean, it's going to be a great weekend to start off the beginning of the year. So that's one that I'm really excited about. And of course, you know, we are going to be doing, you know, unique theme nights throughout the year. So certainly, we're excited for fans to be a part of it.
Yeah. And obviously with any minor league team, especially, being new to a minor league team, there's a ton of community outreach. And that was one of the things that you mentioned when you first got introduced. So how do you view, obviously the potential of the community there? We talked about a little bit, but is there anything that you guys have started in terms of community outreach that you hope to build in the coming months?
We've hired a brand new, community relations coordinator. Her name's, Kelly Watros, and she has hit the ground running. I mean, she's got us involved in everything we can possibly be in this community. We're having Chopper, it started off with the Atlanta Home and Garden Show. We're at all kinds of community events every single day. We actually have a couple people on our staff, involved with Junior Achievement, as well as, Read Across America actually coming up this week. And so, it's not only our community department and our street team getting into the community, but it's our staff as well. We're giving back and we're really getting involved in every aspect that we can be. We want to engage with each of the communities that make up Gwinnett County and the surrounding areas. And so it really is a great way for us to, show the community that we can't exist without the community. So that has to be a huge focus for us. And we're going to continue to get involved both in the school systems with our AAA school program, which focuses on attendance, academics, and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just being out in the community with a presence, doing everything we can possibly do to give back.
Yeah, and that's huge. Obviously, one of the biggest drivers behind ticket sales, really, in a lot of markets, is the schools. You know, whether it's reading programs or if it's STEM programs or even fitness-based programs. You know, if the kids want to go, kids these days, hopefully they drag their parents out as well, and they get to feel that family fun experience that you get in each minor league park, really, and that word of mouth spreads throughout, and hopefully, ideally, they tell their friends, and it builds that way. So that community outreach, especially in every demographic, every single area that you mentioned, is super important. The next question I have for you is based more on the rebrand side of things. I know that you're new to Gwinnett, but obviously it's a team that's fresh off of a rebrand, you know, just a season ago, kind of dropping the Braves name, not dropping their affiliation. Any rebrand has its excitement and it has its backlash. You know, a lot of people that are Braves fans might not be happy with it. And, you know, I think there's always that period of mourning per se. And then once they come back, they have that, you know, renewed excitement with the renewed brand and everything. So I'm not sure how much you were keyed into what Gwinnett was doing before you got there. But if you were, can you tell me what you thought about the rebrand from afar? And now that you're there, kind of in the driver's seat, what's the excitement in terms that you have being, you know, in the driver's seat, like I said, of a team with a fresh brand one season ago?
I mean, first and foremost, I love our logo. You know, I love the color scheme. We actually kept the actual Atlanta Braves blue and red, but we added that green to the Stripers logo. I think you can do a ton with that green, just from a unique merchandise standpoint, from a branding standpoint. You look at teams like the Seattle Seahawks with their, you know, electric green. They do so much with it, so popular. You look at, you know, the Carolina Panthers with that electric blue. So that green allows us to do some pretty unique, cool things that I think people will continue to get behind. You know, from the rebrand standpoint, we love our affiliation with the Braves. We want that. We are the proud AAA affiliate of the Braves. But because of the proximity, you know, I think the rebrand made sense from the standpoint that we want our own identity. And when we're marketing our team and marketing this franchise, you know, sometimes if you market Gwinnett Braves versus Atlanta Braves, people just see Braves. And so we wanted something here that's unique to the area, and one of the best fishing lakes in the southeast at Lake Lanier is right up the road, and it's you know, it's just an integral part of the community here. And so it's a great logo, and I think we can do a lot with it. And it allows us to have our own identity in Braves country and still be the very proud affiliate. We don't want to separate ourselves from the Braves. We just want to make sure that we can market our team and market our identity as a family-friendly, affordable place to come see the next great Braves.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Obviously, still a lot of young talent in the Braves system as well. You know, they really showed a lot on the big league stage last year and still a lot at the AAA level as well. Still one of the deepest farm systems in Major League Baseball. So definitely a lot of excitement, not only when it comes to the fan experience, but also the product on the field. And when both are kind of flowing together, it makes for a really, really good product.
Absolutely. It sure does. And I mean, you know, we love being the place that those next Braves stars get to kind of hone their craft and refine everything before they break into the bigs. And certainly we'll see what happens as spring training progresses with just what players are going to start here. But, you know, there's a chance, you know, we're going to see Austin Riley. We're going to see, you know, Ian Anderson. We're going to see Mike Soroka. We're going to see Kyle Wright. There's a chance we see Tuki Toussaint. I mean, obviously we want the best for those guys. And if they're up helping with the Braves, we wish them nothing but great things. But there's a chance that we're going to get to see some of those guys. And I mean, literally, I just listed off the top five prospects in the Braves system.
Yeah.
And what's highly regarded as one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball. So, you know, for the ability to see guys of that caliber, you know, right down the road in an intimate environment where you can get close to the field, you can't get far enough away from the field to get a bad seat, is really a treat for Gwinnett County and all the Gwinnetians and surrounding county.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Adam, I appreciate you again for coming on to chat. And for the listeners out there, make sure to give the Stripers a follow on Twitter at GoStripers, and you can find out more information on all of their ticket packages and theme nights and all that stuff by visiting GoStripers.com. And, you know, since I'm local, I definitely hope to make it out to a game. But best of luck in the coming season, and maybe we'll chat with you again after your first year in Gwinnett.
Sounds great, Brandon. Thanks so much for having me on. And yeah, GoStripers.com. Come see us out at Cool Ray Field. And I can't wait to provide that premium fan experience for everyone.
All right. Take care.